snapping memories. So I guess a short word. Yes, just devotional, I was told. So just some few things I enjoyed from the scriptures of late. No, I guess I always do. I always enjoy these portions. Philippians chapter 3. We'll just read from verse 7, chapter 3 of Philippians, verse 7. And these, of course, are the words of Paul. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung or refuse, something to be cast to the dogs, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. And God will bless the reading of his precious word. Just a few thoughts. I want to read, first of all, just some words. I don't even know who Jack London is, but I just read this little paragraph he wrote, and it touched me and spoke to me. He said this: I would rather be ashes than dust. I would rather that spark should burn out in a brilliant blaze than it should be stilled by dry rot. I would rather be a superb meteor, every atom of me a magnificent glow, than a sleepy and permanent planet. The proper function of man is to live, not to exist. I shall not waste my days trying to prolong them. I shall use my time to glorify God. I think that's pretty good advice and kind of a challenge for us as God's people. Paul was certainly an amazing man, and we admire him greatly. But he was, we must remember, a man. And he reminds us of that again and again. And he says, simply be followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. And it's wonderful that he opens his heart up to us so we understand what made him tick, as it were. What was in his heart? What made Paul the kind of man that he was? And he does bear his heart here a little bit, and he tells us. He tells us about profit and loss in verse 7 and 8. And he said, anything in my life that I hold on to that would come between me and my beloved Savior, he said, I don't want that. Suffer the loss of is to bring loss upon oneself. I don't want that. He's not talking about sinful things. There's things in my life that occupy my time and my mind. Paul was a man of prayer. We know that. Again and again, we could look at verses, and then he's exhorting the saints over and over again, over and over again, over and over again about prayer. Praying without ceasing. And God spoke to my heart a number of years ago about this matter of prayer, the prayer closet. When he speaks of the prayer closet, the Lord Jesus in Matthew chapter 6, he doesn't say if you go into your prayer closet. He said when. When you go into your prayer closet, it's like a foregone conclusion. That is part of being a Christian. If I don't have a prayer closet, a time where I shut myself in and to be alone with Christ, all alone, then I cannot derive power in my life. I can get all the knowledge, I can get knowledge in the Word of God, but I cannot get to know Christ. That was Paul's consuming passion, was to know Christ. And we cannot get to know Christ and become like Christ just by reading about Christ. We must read about him. But we have to enter into intimate communion with the Father and pray. I like myself personally to appropriate the Psalms. Our lives are in the Psalms. I like to read, go through 5 a day. I've done that for so many years. That's going through all the Psalms in 1 month. I might not read them all, but I always select one and appropriate. I ask God to help me appropriate that Psalm as it was from my heart. Now, David knew his God. He knew him well. He learned about him. Where did he learn about him? Out in the pasture. He was all alone with God. He comes down there to that battle. He's just a youth. He knew his God more than anybody there. And for the very first time in the Bible, the term is used, Lord God of hosts. How did David learn that? Well, he learned that by communing with God, his Father, out in the pastures all by himself. The Lord Jesus Christ often went to a solitary place to pray. To me, I'm just speaking personally in my life, that is the sweetest part of my day. I could not do without that. I couldn't in my life to have that time with the Lord. I'm very blessed that I'm an evangelist, so I have time. God's given me time. If I want to stay in my prayer closet for 3 hours or 4 hours, I can do that. Because I realize, and God taught me a long time ago, that is more important than anything I could ever do. You know, I might sit down and read through 3 or 4 epistles, and that's wonderful and marvelous. But it's not to be compared to spending just 1 hour alone, all alone, and lifting up my heart to God, and getting to know my God, and longing to be like Christ. That's the Christian life. Sometimes we miss the mark. Paul's talking about the mark here in this chapter, to be like the Lord Jesus Christ. In the Old Testament, in Joshua said about that mountain, he said, anybody can have this, like a whosoever. And Othniel says, I'll go. And his name means the power of God. And he goes and takes it. And he got a daughter of Caleb to wife. You know much about her, but the few things she says are amazing things. She tells, first of all, her husband, Othniel, she said, ask my father for a field. Just casually, ask him for a field. It means to enlarge my coast. Well, that's a wonderful prayer, isn't it? Say, Lord, I want my coast enlarged. I want to know thee more. I want my hind feet in the high places. That's what I want. Sometimes we think doing is important. Of course it's important. But what we are, our character, is more important to God than what we do. In no way am I saying working for God is not important. God has a work for us all to do, a ministry for us all to do, but his character is becoming more like Christ. John the Baptist said, I must decrease, he must increase. And that ought to be our desire as well. And this dear lady speaks to her father, Caleb, and she says, she thanked him, first of all, you know, for those south lands. And then she said, not one spring. She said, I'd like to have 2 springs. She knew her father. Her father, Caleb, obviously was a very generous and good man. She asked him for good things. So he gave her both, the upper and the nethers, the upper and the lower springs. And I won't talk about that. There's wonderful teaching there. About these springs. Bartimaeus comes to the Lord, knew what he wanted. Of course he did. Crying out, have mercy on me, have mercy on me, the son of David. So he comes before Christ. He can't see him. And the Lord simply asks him, he already knows what he wants, but he asks him a question. He said, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee, Bartimaeus? What do you want? That's the same thing that Caleb asked his daughter. What is it you want from me? So Christ asked Bartimaeus, what is it that I should do for you? What do you want from me? What's our answer to that, as brothers and sisters in Christ? What's our answer to that? Christ says, well, what do you want? What is it that you want from me? What do you want? Bartimaeus didn't ask for a white cane. He didn't ask for a seeing eye dog. He didn't ask for wealth that he might not beg anymore. What did he ask? He said, I want my sight, Lord. I want my sight. That's what I want. I want all I can get. That's the prayer God wants us. If we read John 15, it's all about fruit. Fruit. You know, it's not work. Fruit's character. And it's for God. It's for God. Fruit is what we become. What we become. What we are. To be more and more like Christ. That's the whole point of us being a Christian. It's not about activity and activity and activity. Again, working is important. But to be consumed. Paul was consumed with the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's all he wanted. You know, the prayers of our heart ought to be, and sincerely, Lord, teach me the error of my way. The thing that I see not, Lord, teach thou me. I'm not content, Lord. I'm not content. We're never going to be like Christ fully. None of us ever are. Paul wasn't. He admits that freely right here. I'm not apprehended. Why was he apprehended of Christ? To become like him. Paul knew that. To become more like the Lord Jesus Christ. And the prayers that God wants to hear us pray are those kind of prayers. You know. Father, make me like thy son. Pouring my heart out to him. I want to be like thy son. That's what I want. That's what God wants us to be. Like his son. The fruit. You bear fruit. That's marvelous. Well, I want more fruit. Much fruit. You glorify my Father. That chapter is about our character. It's not about working. It's about our character. Become more and more like the Lord Jesus Christ. And the prayer closet, I fear that a lot of Christians don't have a prayer closet. They don't have one. They pray. Oh, yes, they pray, and we all pray, and faithful, and the meeting, and back home again, and so on, and so on. But we cannot derive power in our life unless we have a prayer closet. I cannot become more like my blessed Savior if I don't shut myself up alone and have a place that I go to where nobody can hear me but God. It's God and I. If I want to weep, and I want to weep and weep, I can do so. Because nobody can hear me. It's very private. It's very personal. To find a place. And if I ask God to help me find a place, he'll help me find a place. It's what he wants. He loves for us to commune with him. I'm fortunate to have a room back of our house. We used to have children's meetings there for years and years. And I'm away so much now that we can't have them, but I can go out there. But if my wife was in the laundry room, I know she can hear me. And sometimes she gets impatient or something. I'm out there so long, she'll go in. Well, I have to give a little word to my wife. You know, I say, I don't want you to do that. Don't do that. Because this is my quiet time with God. This is my time to pour my heart out to God. And I want to know that this is a solitary place between me and God, God and me. And I found the more that we commune with him, the longer these times become. And it's so marvelous. It's so marvelous. And you go out in your day. That's what Paul wanted. The Lord Jesus Christ, he said in Matthew 11:28, he said, come learn of me. That's what he said, very, very simply. He said, come. He said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart. He tells us about him. Here's his character. Here's the character of our Lord Jesus Christ. I am meek, and I am lowly in heart. He's not. You learn of me. You take my yoke. Wear the same yoke that I wore. Well, the yoke that he wore was obedience to his Father. And he accepted everything as from his Father. Everything. So we must have the same attitude. Whether it's good or bad, I don't know what's coming today or tomorrow, but whatever it is, I'll receive it with thanksgiving. This thing is from me. I'm not sure what book that's in the Old Testament. But understand that. This thing is from me, God saying, this is from me. You've asked me sincerely to be like my son. Well, then you have to enter into the fellowship of my son's sufferings. And I can't have the power of the resurrection in my life, resurrection power, if I don't enter into the sufferings of Christ. That's what he's bequeathed us in 1 Peter 2:21. Amazing verse. That's the word he's bequeathed us to us. The call is a personal call by name. He's calling each one of us to follow in his steps of suffering. I want to be a man of sorrows. I do. As an evangelist, I do. I want to be a man of sorrows. Lord, I do. I want my heart to break for lost souls. I want to be acquainted with grief. I really do. And that's my prayer to God. It ought to be our prayer to God. Lord, I understand the Christian life. Christ suffered. He suffered all through his life. His heart was heavy. And he didn't go around with a long face. I mean, the children would never approach him if he did. He talked about his joy. Paul said, sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. His countenance was such that little children would come to him. And yet we know within he was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. He talked about the fullness of joy. He wanted us to have that fullness of joy. The word learn of me. I'm just going to read what the word means so we understand. To increase one's knowledge or be increased in knowledge frequently, to learn by inquiry or observation. Instead of learning Christ, not simply the doctrine of Christ, but Christ himself, a process not merely of getting to know the person, but of so applying the knowledge as to walk differently from the rest of the Gentiles. So what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? That's what he's waiting for us to come to that place in my life. Say, Lord, Father, I want to be like your son. That's what I want. I want to be like your son. I want to be like him. First thing he says about himself is, I am meek. I am meek. And you know, this word is only used once in the New Testament. It's used of our blessed Savior. And I'm just going to read this because it made a great impact on my life. This is what the word means: a gentle, mild, meek, of a soothing disposition, that temper of spirit in which we accept God's dealings with us as good, and therefore without disputing, without resisting. It does not fight against God's will, nor contend with him. Even from the devil himself, we accept it. Without resistance, we just accept these things. It doesn't fight against his will, or also before men. Insults and injuries which may be inflicted are permitted by God. They're employed by God, even among godly men. Insults, being put down and told off and so on. Like, what is my reaction to that? What, do I defend myself? The Lord Jesus did not defend himself. All those terrible things they said to him. You've got a devil. You're a gluttonous man. You're a wine bibber. You're born fornication. Your real father was a Samaritan. They even said that to him. They said terrible things. He never defended himself. And neither did Moses. God said, Moses, I'll be your defense. I'll be your defense, Moses. You don't say a word. You look at Moses' life. He did not say anything. God's my defense. So I don't resist in anything. Let man do what man will unto me. Because it's from God. This thing is from me. He's answering my prayer. You ask me to become more like my son, and this is how it works. You accept all these things. It's for the chastening and purifying of his own. It's neither related. This is the same word of our Lord Jesus. It's neither related nor cast down, because it's not occupied with self at all. I'm not occupied with self at all. It is therefore the fruit of power. The Lord says, if you want to find your life, you've got to lose your life. Understand and put self on the cross. Not the self-life. But that's what Paul's talking about here. The power of the resurrection. It's the resurrected life. Romans 6 is such a beautiful chapter. It's an encouraging chapter. But to understand, we read in Galatians 5, to understand what God is saying there. walk in the Spirit, then you won't bring the fulfillment, the desires of your flesh. And it's a double negative, never, never. And my prayer, personal prayer, I mean personal here, I don't get ministry very often, so I feel at liberty to say these things. I ask God that the Holy Spirit might put his foot upon the neck of my flesh. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I also understand that greater is he that is in me than he that is in me. And the flesh does not have to be. It does not have to be. I don't have to lose my temper. I do not have to be impatient. I don't have to be quick to answer somebody. I don't have to be that way. I don't. Christ never was. He never was. We read through his life. He was interrupted and so on, and he was asked questions that seemed bizarre, but he was so gentle and so kind and so loving. He said, you want to find rest, real rest for your soul, then you come learn of me. And the first thing he says is, I am meek. This is what I am. And he was in his life, I am meek. Now, Paul wanted this so badly that consumed him, that he's opening his heart up in Philippians 3. This is what he wanted more than anything else in the entire world. I want to be like the Lord Jesus Christ. I want the power of the resurrection in my life. That's what I want. To be found in him, he said, verse 9, is to be found by discerning men and women, that they could see, if he said, he's in Christ. He's in Christ. He stands before God and he speaks in the Lord. Paul is a man in Christ. And that's what he wanted, for men and women to see that. And a savor of Christ that became more sweeter and sweeter as time went on. That's what's most important in our life. You know, sometimes we can, you know, we look for fruit in our life. Brother Doug and I were talking about that. What we are means more to God than what I do. It really does. What I am. How much more am I like Christ now than I was 2 years ago or 5 years ago? And why I say this about the prayer closet with sadness about brethren is because I know brothers and sisters that travel around, very blessed man. And I can discern that this brother or this sister is no more Christ-like now than they were 5 years ago. Dear brother, dear sister, faithful to me, and all these things. But I don't see any more of Christ in you. I don't. There's no more of a fragrance of Christ coming from you than there was the last time that I saw you. Therefore, it's obvious. This dear Christian does not understand. That is absolutely vital. To have a prayer closet. My time, all alone with God. That's the most valuable time. Even when I go visiting door to door, I love to go door to door visiting. I count it a privilege to do that. To me, I think it's the greatest work in the world. I think I've got the greatest job in the world, in spite of anything I might go through. I don't think there's any greater job than an evangelist. I'm a blessed man, in spite of anything. I'm not going to go into the things we've gone through, if I can look back and say, well, God was faithful. Yes, were there many tears? Yes, there were many tears in my life. And there was much suffering in my life. But I'm not saying that complaining, not a bit. But I understood a long time ago. Because when I was commended, the elder told me, one of the elders said, Wade, you are getting into the toughest job in the world. You're going to do hand-to-hand combat, front lines with the enemy himself. Get target on your front, target on your back, and so is your family. I understood. He wanted me to know what you're getting into. Somebody asked me one time, when did you decide to become a preacher? I said, young man, I never decided to become a preacher. Never. I didn't even want to be a preacher. I was very content. I was happy with my work. I had a ministry in St. John, and a dear wife and children, the assembly, and so on. But God laid his hand on me, and I knew it. I knew it was happening. I knew it was happening. So I said, young man, my choice was, am I going to obey God or not obey God? That's all. We all have a ministry. But the point I'm seeking to make and leave with you is that it's being like Christ. How badly did Paul want to be like Christ? Whatever affliction he had, it was from Satan. We didn't know what it was. And we read about his eyes. What went along with that? Did something go along with that? Did he have migraine headaches? Did he suffer from fatigue? Did he suffer from insomnia? Was he in pain? We don't know. Whatever it was, the word he used is so strong. It's so strong. He's begging God, please take it away. God, please take it away. Please take it away. In his mind, I could serve you better, Lord, without this. Now, I always wonder, why did he stop praying the three times? Why didn't he keep on? Because here's why. The Greek language is so expansive. There's so many Greek words that we translate all with one English word because we have no word to match it. So sometimes it's vital to have a Greek concordance handy. If you know how to work a dictionary, well, you can work a Greek concordance and a Hebrew concordance, and they're all in alphabetical order. So I looked the word up. In many words, we translate say and said. And the word, he said, God said to me. It is a word that means, Paul, I'm going to explain something to you about this thorn in the flesh that you have. Yes, Satan has given it to you. I've allowed Satan access to you to give it to you. And Paul, I'll tell you something else. You're going to have it the rest of your life. Yes, you are. Don't ask me again. That's the word. Don't ask me again. Let's go and never ask him again. But he told Paul why. He said, my grace will be sufficient for you, and my strength is made perfect in your weakness. It's good for us to understand that when we're weak. I sense my weakness. God says, now that's just the exact place I want you to be. Now I can use you. My strength is made perfect in weakness. And as soon as God told him that, it's amazing, isn't it? Paul said, therefore, he said, I understand. I take pleasure in my infirmities, in trials, tribulations, pain, whatever it might be. I'm going to take pleasure in that. Not that he was like a masochist or something. I enjoy pain. No, he didn't enjoy the infirmity, but he understood the outcome. He knew why he had the infirmity. That's why he said, I take pleasure in these things. And why was that? He said that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For Christ's sake, he said, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. And that word rest is to pitch a tent and dwell upon and never leave. Paul was continually ministering. And he knew if it wasn't Christ speaking through him, then what was the point of speaking? There's no point. Who? The voice of man. The flesh profiteth nothing. Paul knew that. There's a wonderful lesson, you know, in Saul, you know, with Agag, Yahshua Agag, he's the king of the Amalekites. There's something good in the flesh. Sometimes we think that. There's nothing good in the flesh. Sometimes, it's obvious sometimes with brethren, you know, they're very nice. She's a nice sister. He's a nice brother. Yes, very nice. Don't step on their toes. No, don't say anything to them they don't like. Because what happens to honey when it's heated? It's very bitter. It's sweet anymore. That will not avail. Is that a good thing? That's in the flesh. Everybody has a quality of some measure in them. No. We must understand that. I don't want that, Lord. There's no good thing in me, Paul said. There's no good thing in me. So Saul, the Amalekites speak of the flesh. Amalek. The first time he comes when the rock was smitten and the water poured out, and that's a picture of Christ, the rock, the living spirit. And then the next verse we read is, then came Amalek. And there's their first battle. And that's what it's like with us. We can look back in Salvation's Day. The battle began the day I was saved. We're on the winning side. There's more. I know I'm going to stop here in a minute. I've already gone 20 minutes, I think. But I'd like to just make this point. So I'm going to keep Agag. He's the king. And so actually, when Samuel came and Saul goes, I've obeyed the Lord. I've obeyed the Lord, Saul. Well, partial obedience is not obedience. It's not. God wants full surrender. Full surrender. That's what he wants. He wants all of me. He wants all of me. Paul gave God all of himself. That's what he did. So the great lesson is taught to us in an example. An example for all those men over there. He says, bring Agag to me, Simon says. Bring him to me. There's a lesson here about our flesh. He says, bring him to me. What a scene that must have been. Try to imagine this in my mind. He's giving you sores. You know, when you read that, I think the words of that king. This king Agag, he was pleased. He thought he was going to get honored somehow. He seemed to get honored. He had no idea what was supposed to come. Samuel, his long hair, Nazarite, took that sword and he hewed Agag in pieces before them all. What a scene that must have been. With the blood. It's a great lesson for us. There's no good thing in me. Nothing. Nothing is good in me. It's Christ. It must be Christ, the Spirit of God. Paul could say, well, I do always those things that please him. The Lord said that. Paul could say this, I can, it's Philippians 4 and verse number 13. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me, which continually infuses me with strength. That's why you could say that. I can do all things through Christ, because he continually infuses me with strength, because the power of Christ is resting upon me. That's what he longed for. And that ought to be what we long for in our lives. Just to be like my blessed Savior. God is well pleased. He is more concerned with our character than he is with the fruit that we might bear in our life, you know, that we see. No, God says, understand, all my delight and joy was in my Son and what he was. And I want you to become more like my Son. That's what I want, to be Christ-like. And Paul, it's an amazing thing, isn't it, what he said, you know. I take pleasure, he said. I take pleasure, you know. Because not in the affirmity, but the outcome. He knew the outcome. So he's getting what he prayed for. And David prays in Psalm 139, he said, Lord, search me and know me and try me and see if there be any way of pain or grief in me. But I can't see. Others can see, sometimes see the thing, the faults in us, and I can't see them. So we understand that and say, Lord, you show them to me. Please show them to me. Reveal them to me. It hurts sometimes. But we should want to. I should want God to reveal them to me. And then David said, lead me in the way everlasting. Don't let me go in that way. Teach me the error of my way, Lord. I want to be like the Lord Jesus Christ. So, I've spoken long enough. But I thought it was delightful to read about Paul. Paul is unveiling his heart. He told us those things in 2 Corinthians 12, because he was forced to. Because at the end, I speak as a fool. You know, you forced me to do this. They were questioning his apostleship and so on and so on. And so he told, but isn't it wonderful that he did that? I thank God that he did. He told us, we learn a secret there, don't we? There's a secret we learn. This thing is for me, God said. You've asked to become like my Son, and I do believe you meant it. Therefore, be prepared. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 21. Be prepared to follow. It's like it's following footsteps in the snow. You follow that path my Son took. Whatever came his way, he accepted, even the cup, even that awful cup. Nevertheless, he said, not my will, but thine be done. And come what may, criticism from brethren, criticism at home, misunderstanding, whatever it is, worry about it. I receive it as from God, because I know God's answering that prayer. That's the prayer waiting for us all to pray and fervently pray. Lord, make me like thy Son. So I'll stop talking now. We'll pray. Father in heaven, we give thanks again for the assembly. How we thank thee, Father, for revealing the truths of gathering to the person of the Lord Jesus Christ to us. We thank thee that we're not only thy children, but thou hast revealed to us the truth, the simplicity that is in Christ, of gathering onto his person. A Christian. I am a Christ one, simply a Christian, and we gather to his name. We've learned to worship, Father. We've come to understand how important this is and what it means to Thee, how it delights Thee, Father, when we come on the first day of the week, not to be blessed, not to be ministered unto, Father, oh, but to bless Thine heart and to lift Thy Son up unto Thee. We know it, Thou art well pleased. And this is an amazing thing, Father, marvelous indeed, that we may worship God in spirit and in truth. We thank Thee, Father, for the school. Thy schoolhouse is the assembly, we know that. And we thank Thee for all that we've learned, all the brethren have learned within these walls. I know their hearts are grateful. Father in heaven, we do thank Thee for the prayers of Paul and for the occasions He opened His heart up to us, that we might understand all the things we have in Christ, and to be men like Jabez and Othniel, Father. Oh, to pray big prayers. Lord, make me like Thy Son. May I bring delight to Thee each day of my life, Father. We thank Thee for the gospel, and the seed's been sown, and we thank Thee, Father. Salvation's of the Lord. And we just pray it has fallen on good ground in the hearts of many, and may it spring forth yet unto life eternal to the honor and glory of Thy Son. We understand, Father, we're very privileged to be able to have this treasure within us, Father, Christ Himself and the message of salvation. We pray for opportunities, each one, each day. Bring us before those, Father, that are hurting inside, that are longing to know the truth, to be set free. We know it elevates our day, Father, and we live on a high plane then, to think that Thou might use us to help someone find their way to the feet of Christ. So we thank Thee for this Lord's Day and for the time we've had together around His person. We ask Thy blessing now as we part, and we pray Thou would take us to our homes in safety. Bless our families, Father. And now we ask Thy blessing as we part, and we give Thee thanksgiving in that worthy name, that name that is above every name that is named, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.